Correct.
So here's Jesus talking about this much loved picture of being the good shepherd. He creates all sorts of wonderful imagery, and I'm just going to have a little look at that and try and unpack that before we get into this stuff about the relationship that I want us to understand. See, shepherds were very common in those days, in that place. The ground around that area, for most part, was rough and stony. But Judea was much more pastoral than an agricultural country. And therefore, inevitably, one of the most familiar figures in that place was that of the shepherd. And his life was very hard. No flock ever grazed without a shepherd. He was never off duty. In places there's little grass, and the sheep are bound to wander. And since there are no protecting walls like we have in this country, then the sheep had constantly to be watched. And on either side of narrow plateau, the ground dipped sharply down into the craggy deserts. And the sheep were always liable to stray and get lost. And the shepherd's task was always a constant one. Constant but dangerous. For in addition, he had to guard the flock against wild animals, especially against wolves, as it says here. And there were always thieves and robbers ready to steal. So he had a watching brief of protection. Someone called Sir George Adam Smith, writing historical geography of the Holy Land, said this. He wrote this. He said, "With us, sheep are often left to themselves. But I do not remember ever to have seen in the East a flock of sheep without a shepherd. In such a landscape as Judea, where a day's pasture is thinly scattered over an unfenced tract of country covered with delusive paths, still frequented by wild beasts, and rolling off into the desert, the man and his character are indispensable. On some high moor, across which at night the hyenas howl, when you meet him, sleepless, far-sighted, weather-beaten, armed, leaning on his staff, and looking over his scattered sheep, every one of them on his heart, you understand why the shepherd of Judea sprang to the forefront of his people's history, why they gave his name to their king and made him the symbol of providence, and why Jesus took him as the type of self-sacrifice." The shepherd needed constant vigilance, fearless courage, patient love for his flock. And that's what Jesus has got for us. The Old Testament is rich in the sort of imagery of the shepherd and the flock. We know, don't we, that there's that fantastic psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Psalm 23. But often interwoven throughout the Psalms, it talks about God being the shepherd of the flock. "Thou didst lead my people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron." Psalm 77, verse 20. "He is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand." Psalm 95. "We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." Psalm 100. All the way through, it talks about this. This passage that we particularly looked at, we can look back into Ezekiel chapter 34. It talks a lot. If you want to study a bit more, go and have a look in Ezekiel 34. It talks about how God has got fed up with the false shepherds. He says that you're all false shepherds. The leaders at that time were all false. And you've not led my people like proper shepherd would. And he speaks of a time when he's going to come himself and lead his people as the shepherd. And he speaks of David coming as the Good Shepherd. And he points to the future, the anointed, the Messiah coming, which is Jesus. And that's the same picture that Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about the false ones, the ones that lead us off down the wrong track. And then he's comparing them with himself, the Good Shepherd. And as you read through this, and as I read through it, there was a couple of things that always slightly puzzled me. And I think by looking into it a bit more, I've kind of got a bit of an answer for it. So it's not an amazing teaching point, but it is something that's really helped me in understanding this. Because in the two different bits of what Jesus was saying here, he was kind of talking about two different types of sheepfolds, okay, sheep pens. So at night, the shepherd would put their sheep into the sheepfold, into the sheep pen, to help keep them safe. And often in the towns and the villages, this would be like a proper built one, or might be a cave that they come with a proper door on it. And they were communal sheepfolds. So people would bring all their flocks, the different types of flocks, the different flocks would come and share the same sheepfold. And these folds were protected by a strong door, and they would have a watchman over it, who would be the guarder, the keeper of that door. Maybe it had a key on it. And this is the first part that Jesus is talking about when he talks about, the man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep, because only the shepherds would come to that gate and be let in by the watchman. But there is a different type of fold as well, which he then goes on to speak about. When he says, down in verse 7, he says, "Tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep." He's talking about a different type of gate now, not this gate that the watchmen were over, but a different type of gate. Because on the hills, on the hillside, there were sheepfolds which were just stone walls, and there was no door. There was an entrance, but there was no door. And the sheep would be gathered in the warm season. They didn't return by night to the village where these protective sheepfolds were, but they would stay on these hillside sheepfolds. And there was this opening where the sheep would come in. There was no door of any kind. But what happened was that at night, the shepherd himself would lay down across the door. All the sheep would come in, and the shepherd would lay himself down across the opening of the door, so no sheep could get out unless they went out over the shepherd's body. And in the same way, no wild animal could come in unless they got past the shepherd who was lying in the doorway. It was a different type of sheep pen. And we'll draw on this imagery as we go through, because I think Jesus speaks about it in different ways. So that's just the background to where we are. And here, the key verse for me is the one that I've already mentioned just as I was sort of starting. And it's down in verse 10. And it's the verse which makes me excited every time I read it. It says this: "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come," in other words, Jesus has come, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." So he's talking about the sheep now. He's talking about you and me. He's come that we might have life and have it to the full. We live in a world, don't we, where we're bombarded by all sorts of adverts and all sorts of things. You turn on the television and your life will be fulfilled if you buy this product, if you drive this car, if you drink this drink, you'll have more life, you'll be Pepsi Max to the whatever. Doesn't do it. Doesn't do it. It might give us a bit of a buzz or a bit of excitement or a temporary thing, but it's not really life to the full. I'm in a very fortunate position. I've got a great job. God's provided me with that. I've got a fantastic family. I'm rich beyond compare in wealth terms. I've just been on an amazing holiday. And that's all fantastic. But is that really life to the full? God's challenged me in my preparation. Is that life to the full? I don't think it is. Because life to the full is about having a relationship with Jesus, where we're doing his will all the time, where we're walking in step with him, where he calls us, as he said earlier, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Calls his sheep by name and leads them out, and they hear his voice and follow him. That's life to the full. Jesus has got an adventure for you and for me that we need to step into. So you remember the picture that I talked about, that all the different flocks came in, and then the shepherds came and they called their own out. There was all different flocks there, but they called their own sheep out by name, and they recognized the shepherd's voice. And that's what God is wanting to do to you today, wherever you are on the Christian journey, whether you've not started it yet or whether you're a long way down it like me. He wants you to have more. He wants you to have abundant life. When the verse is here, I'm sorry, I get a bit excited now, but the verse is here, it's actually about, it talks about superabundant life. That's what it means, superabundant life. In the message, the translation is this. I can find it. Trouble is with the message, they don't put verses in. I had it just now. Here we go. I came, this is Jesus speaking, I came so that they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. Come that they can have real and eternal life. So, yes, he's talking about eternal life. He's talking about the bigger picture kingdom, the end of life. But he's also talking about now, real, more and better life than they ever dreamed of, than you have ever dreamed of. You can have that with Jesus. I met with met up with Roger and Lana at the end of this week on Friday. I was just sitting down with Roger. Many of you will know him, been part of the church for a long time. He's got prostate cancer. He's been told he's got a terminal illness. He's in the past, he's battled with alcoholism. He's been, not had a great deal of money, all sorts of stuff. I was sitting down with him and he said, you know, Chris, life is really good. You know, I'm seeing things now in a way that I've never seen them before. My life is better now than it has ever, ever been. I see deeper colours in what I look at. Each day is precious. I've got a relationship with God. I know that I'm forgiven. And I'm just sitting there and I'm thinking, that is life to the full. It doesn't mean that we won't have these challenges and problems. You know, he's facing a terminal illness. But he knows where he's going. And he knows what he's got now, and it's really precious. And he's got that relationship with God, which makes it precious. And I thought, as I was preparing, I must share something of that. And I phoned Roger up today, this morning, saying, Roger, do you mind if I share what some of the things that you're telling me? And he said, no, that's fine. It's fine because, he said, it's 100% genuine. 100% genuine. And that's life in all its fullness, where you can stand on the rock of Jesus with him as your good shepherd and say, I'm facing all these challenges, I'm even facing death, but actually life is the best I've ever had it. And I know that I'm forgiven, I know where I'm going, and each day is precious in the relationships that I live, in what he's calling me to do. And that guy is giving amazing testimony as he meets with people. And they wonder what on earth has happened to him. And what has happened to him is Jesus. The shepherd has called him out by voice. And he's heard his voice. And he's responded to it. And you can have that life too. Get hungry. Get thirsty for Jesus. We preached on that a while back, didn't we? About Jesus being the streams of living water flowing out from us. And that's how we get this exciting life. So Jesus is offering us something here, which is absolutely amazing. He says, you know, he knows his sheep. He knows you. He knows each one of you inside out. He knows where you've gone wrong. He knows what you've done that's upset others. He knows your good points. He knows your bad points. He knows you. He knows you. And he loves you. Because it says here that I'm a good shepherd. I know my sheep. My sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. That intimate relationship that Jesus has with his Father, he's saying is available for us as his sheep. That Father-Son intimate relationship where Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. It's available for us. And why is it available for us? Because Jesus says this, I lay down my life for the sheep. I lay down my life for you. I love you so much that I've laid down my life for you. And that's why we can move into this place of forgiveness and grace and mercy. It's an amazing place to be. Jesus has laid down his life for us. Ephesians 2 verse 18 says this, for through him we have access to the Father. Through Jesus we have access to the Father. Hebrews 10 verse 19, therefore brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. Let us draw near to God in full assurance of faith. As we respond to Jesus, we'll get closer to him and closer to the Father. He knows us. Psalm 139 talks about how intimately that God knows us. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out, my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. And it goes on to say, for you created my inmost being. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God knows us intimately. Jesus knows us. And he loves you. And he wants to call you out from where you are along this journey of life into that more abundant life. Whatever, however green the pasture is, whether the pasture that you're eating in is brown with a few shoots or whether it's really green, he wants to call you further and deeper into that relationship. He calls us out. He calls us out. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And he goes on ahead of them. And his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Do you know his voice? Can you hear it? Do you spend time with Jesus? Listening. Trying to understand what he's saying. The Bible is a great way of spending time with Jesus. As I found just looking at these familiar verses, comes to life again as you study it, as you dig into it. And Jesus calls you into something. He's got something for you to do that's special. Only you can do. He knows you inside out. He knows you, all about you. And the experiences that you've been through, he's going to use for good purpose. Even those really tough ones. Even those ones where you felt like you can't go on. You might be in that place now. God is going to use that for good. He calls you out. The Lord's my shepherd. Shall not want. He leads me to still water. Did you know sheep apparently only drink in still water? And that's why the shepherd will lead them to still water. He knows our needs. He provides security. In one of these bits it says in verse 10, verse 9, Jesus talks about, I am the gate. So the gate, the line across that, and that's the way we enter in to Jesus. enter into the relationship I'm talking about. Jesus says later in John, where we're coming on to in John 14, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But he says this, he says he will come, I am the gate, whoever enters through me will be saved. Right, there's no question, will be saved. If you come to Jesus, you will be saved. And listen, he will come in and go out and find pasture. And that was kind of like a Hebrew saying, to come in and go out without being troubled was a sign of great kind of security and safety. And that's the place Jesus wants us to be, where we can go into difficult circumstances and the pressures of the world, but we're safe in that relationship with Jesus, and we can find that green pasture of where he wants us to go. I'm not going to go on. There's lots more that I could say, but I'm not going to go on talking about this anymore, because I think that it's just about inspiring you to get to know the Good Shepherd. There's all sorts of things, what the Good Shepherd means and all that kind of stuff, but actually it's about a personal relationship with Jesus. There's one story, if I can just find it, which I liked, which I thought was helpful. A famous actor was once the guest of honour at a social gathering, where he received many requests to recite favourite pieces of work, poems or literature. And there happened to be an old preacher who was there, and he asked the actor to recite Psalm 23. And the actor agreed he would do that on condition that the preacher would also recite it. And the actor's recitation was absolutely beautiful, really intoned and great dramatic emphasis, and it was brilliant. And when he finished, he received a standing ovation for the way that he read it. Absolutely brilliant. And then the preacher came and he read it. He was an old man, and his voice was rough and broken by many years of preaching, and his diction was anything but polished. But when he finished reading it out, there was neither applause nor a dry eye in the room. And after the meeting had finished, after it had all finished, someone asked the actor what made the difference in that psalm, in the way that it was read, the way it was so emotive for those that heard the preacher preach. And the actor said this, he said, I know the psalm, but he knows the Good Shepherd. I know the psalm, I know the words, but he knows the Good Shepherd, the author. And that's what it's about today. Do you know the Good Shepherd? How well do you know the Good Shepherd? Do you want to get to know him better? I do. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this amazing picture of you as the Good Shepherd who just cares for us, your flock, your people. Lord, your word here says that there will be one flock and one shepherd. And Lord, that says to me that people from every different background, every different experience that's here today or listening, your love and grace is available to them. Because you've laid down your life for your sheep. Thank you, Lord. I thank you that you call us by name. And you want to lead us out into the fresh pasture that you have for us. And that's a constant thing, Lord. I pray, Lord, that as we've just heard your word this morning, that you would develop in that us that thirst and hunger to really know more of you. That we would let go of the things of the world, anything that holds us back. but we would follow where you call us. And in doing so, we would enjoy that abundant life, that life to the full. Come now, I pray, by your Spirit, meet with each person, touch their hearts, draw them to yourself. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Just as the band come back to lead us into more worship, just reminded me again of there's a story, isn't there? There's a parable that Jesus tells about the lost sheep, that the shepherd looks after the 99, but then one gets lost, and he goes off to get it. And just as I was praying there, I just felt there might be a person, someone, one or two people that might feel like that one sheep that's gone off, and that they couldn't possibly be someone that God was interested in bringing them back into the fold. That parable that Jesus told says, yes, he loves the 99, but he'll go off to get the one that's got lost. And that might be you. So don't just be open to that. If that's how you're feeling, Jesus wants to call you back or call you in just the same and love you as much as the 99. We're all loved equally by him. Johnny.
Okay, we're just going to ask that we stay seated and just bow our heads as we do the next song. You can understand.